Bible reading can be found on page 1181 in your pew Bibles. You see the number there. Reading from Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord, but at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learnt to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints who are in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Amanda. It's a tag team of two Amandas. Amanda read the Bible reading and I'm Amanda, the vicar here. Well, it really is a great day. It's a wonderful day to baptise Samuel Smart. Is he fast asleep now? Fast asleep. There we go. How does that make the preacher feel? Just baptised him. Knows I'm about to speak. He's fallen fast asleep. Oh, yeah. Because what we're doing today, we have given thanks for the gift that Samuel is. We've welcomed him into the family of the church. And we're doing this all in the context of bringing together two wonderful families. The Smart extended family, lovely to have so many cousins and also lots of friends too. But also the wonderful, loving family of St. Mary's that Dave and Emma, Lucy and Samuel are part of. And as I begin today, I'm going to give this letter to Samuel. It's a letter that I've sat down this week and written to him. And I've put on the envelope that maybe he would like to open it at the point of which he goes to secondary school, or maybe earlier than that, maybe wait until he turns 16 or 18. And maybe I'm hopeful that he might read it more than once. Maybe it's something he might read on the anniversary of his baptism, the 24th of November, 2024, every year. So, Samuel, that's a letter that I've written for you because there were some things that I wanted to say to you in the future. But also, it has cheekily helped me to introduce the talk, the sermon this morning. Because what we've been doing here at St. Mary's Church over 10 sessions, this is the 10th, we have been looking at a letter written that's part of the Bible that Amanda just read to us. And it's a letter written by a man called Paul, who was also known as the Apostle Paul. And it's written to a church in a place called Philippi. And here at St. Mary's, we believe that God's word is truth. We believe the Bible is God's word, and we believe that God speaks through the Bible today, that God wants to speak to each of us, to you and to me today, So I'm expectant that God, on this lovely day of Samuel's baptism, has a message for each of us. So let me pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Bible. We thank you that you want to speak to us. So would you open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to you now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the bit that Amanda just read to us from the Bible, from this letter by Paul to the Philippians, is actually the very final part of the letter. And in this final part of the letter, Paul does some of those things that people often do when they finish a letter. Although actually, a handwritten letter is a bit of a foreign thing these days. I'm not sure how many of you still receive actual letters. But I've got a friend from university who still writes to me. And sometimes, final bits of a letter, they sort of maybe reiterate something important that they've written to you about. And Paul does that. He says, thank you for sending a gift to me. Other things that we do when we finish a letter is we send final greetings. My husband says hello, or we hope you're okay. And Paul does that in this letter as well. He sends final greetings from those who are with him. But also in this final part of the letter, he says something that I think is quite profound. Something that's really relevant in 21st century living, relevant for me and for you. Something that can impact our day-to-day lives, and that's what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to pick out a few bits that Paul writes in this final part of the letter. Paul writes this, I have learnt to be content whatever the circumstances. Wow. I think that's big. In fact, he thinks it's so important, he repeats it a couple of lines later by writing, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So this morning we're here for a wonderful reason, but I dare to ask you, are you content? Not content in the sense of, well, it's not too good, but I'll get on with it. But content in the sense of having the fullness of life that real, true contentment is. And actually, be good to ask even, what is contentment? I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances, Paul writes. He goes on to say, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance. So let's spend a short amount of time today looking at the whole issue of contentment. Now, I wonder what would happen if I went out into the communities of Hollywood and Withall or into the community where you're from, not on a day like today, because I'm not sure there'll be many people around, and we asked them, what's contentment? What's your picture of contentment? I wonder what you would say, and I wonder what the people down at Drake's Cross or in your community would say. Well, I had a think. I reckon it'd be things like this. Sitting on a warm beach, maybe a cocktail. That. Yep, contentment. What about this? Marcus has just shown me a picture very similar to this. A beautiful view. Whether you've hiked up there and it's the reward, or there's a car park just down there and you can just go and see the view. Is that contentment, just standing and looking at the beauty of creation? Well, maybe it's more localised and everyday than that. Is contentment, family meal. Everybody's come round, nobody's arguing at the moment, and everybody's eating what you put on the plate. Contentment. Well, I dared to share a picture from last Friday. We were privileged to go away to a wedding and we were staying in a pub for the night, and I decided to share with you my picture of contentment last Friday night. The open fire, a pint, and my book. But again, it may be simpler than that. Oh, a steaming hot mug of tea. Contentment, especially when you've been out walking in weather like this. But interestingly, these are all circumstances, and in a sense, they're one-off circumstances, and some of them, like a holiday, they come and then they've gone again. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, is able to write, I have learnt to be content whatever the circumstances. His contentment is above and beyond what's going on for him. It's not determined by that which he finds himself in, but more that which is within him. Contentment that isn't just about what's going on around you. Can't we think, well, I'll be content when school breaks up. I'll be content when I retire. I'll be content when they go to school. I'll be content when... Paul says, no, I've learned to be content in every situation. So before I leave situations and circumstances, let me show you some different pictures and words. Being in prison. Being flogged. Being shipwrecked. Now, I'm not a betting person, but if I was, I would bet that not one person who was asked to describe contentment would ever come up with one of those three things. But this man, Paul, who wrote, I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, had encountered all of those things and more. When he wrote a letter to another group of Christians at Corinth, he wrote this. I have been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. And he goes on to talk about going without sleep, knowing hunger and being cold and naked. Paul's contentment is above and beyond what's happening to him. It's not determined by that which he finds himself in, but more about that which is within him. So looking at the life of Paul and looking at what we've heard in the Bible reading today, I think we see three things about contentment. It's possible, it's a process, and it's found in the person of Jesus and in his presence and power. So I'm going to look at those. Firstly, contentment is possible. Yay, that's good news. I think I've really just covered that. If this man Paul, who had experienced all those difficult things and who actually was writing this letter that we read in the Bible when he was in prison in Rome, if he could know contentment, then contentment is possible. And I also want to highlight about contentment being possible that Paul was a regular human being. One example of this is that he had an ongoing problem, which is referred to in the Bible as a thorn in the flesh. Scholars of the Bible give suggestions as to what this might be, but no one actually knows. It might have been a physical problem, or an emotional or psychological one, or maybe a relationship issue. But Paul wrote this, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This thorn in the flesh was certainly something that wasn't pleasant, something Paul wished he hadn't gone through, something he asked God to take away from him. It was a challenge that continued for Paul. It was an ongoing challenge. So it seems that Paul had this ongoing challenge of the thorn in the flesh, and then periodically, and poor chap, it seems rather frequently, he had specific challenges like being in prison, being flogged, being shipwrecked, being hungry. And yet he wrote, I have learnt to be content, whatever the circumstances. Contentment is possible. Deep, true contentment is possible. Paul faced stuff, and Paul was an everyday bloke, but he knew contentment. you and I face stuff. We are everyday people. Maybe we can learn contentment. Which leads me on to that second P, contentment is a process. I'm just going to read again what Paul wrote. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I'd learnt to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Now, the word contentment appears twice in that. But there's another word that appears twice as well. I'll put it in blue there. Learned. Paul tells the Christians at Philippi that he's been on a process to becoming content. It's something he's had to learn, and it's the same for us. Neither you nor me can go home today and say, oh, that baptism was a lot of fun, great to see family and friends, great to be part of St. Mary's Church, and oh yeah, contentment, fancy a bit of that. Okay, so I'm going to decide the afternoon of Sunday the 24th of November, I'm going to be content from now on. We can't do that, can we? Tomorrow, Wednesday, next Sunday, something will come that will challenge or even destroy our contentment. Contentment is a process. It needs us to go through things, but it needs us to have a help to respond to them that we might move to a place of contentment. And I find it interesting that Paul wrote in the second time he writes about it, I've learned the secret of being content in every situation. It's like contentment is a state that eludes people. The picture that came to my mind was, you know, that one with your wet hand and a bar of soap. Oh, it's gone. Where's it gone again? Pick it up again. You think you've got it, and then it's gone. It does seem to elude us. But it can be obtained, but it can only be obtained through a journey, through a process of learning, by encountering things, by having difficult circumstances, and then how we respond to them. Well, you could probably go to it's possible and it's a process, but we haven't really grappled with it yet, have we? Like, how? How can we be content? Well, I stand here today as the vicar of this church, as someone who's followed Jesus since I was 19 years of age, and I would say that contentment is found in the person of Jesus, in who he is, his presence and his power. And it was the same for the Apostle Paul in the Bible. He had encountered Jesus dramatically. You'll have heard of the road to Damascus, a Damascus road experience, a big blinding light. Jesus then had died and rose again and was enthroned in heaven as the King of Kings, but Paul encountered him. Previously, this Apostle Paul had known about Jesus, but then he met and came to know Jesus for himself. And you know what? In Jesus, he found forgiveness of sins. He wrote this, God made Jesus, who had no sin, be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you know, I said Paul was an ordinary bloke, but actually, before he met Jesus, he was a bit of a nasty character. He'd vehemently persecuted the church. But he knew, despite all the terrible acts he'd done, even murdering Christians, in Jesus he found forgiveness of sins and being put right with God. And so you can grapple and argue with me over cake afterwards, but I stand here today and say, I don't actually believe that anyone can be truly, deeply content unless they know Jesus and know forgiveness. Forgiveness that comes through the death on the cross of Jesus and his resurrection. Because if we're not forgiven, we're carrying sins, and they weigh us down and separate us from God. Sin holds us captive. But Paul knew forgiveness, so even in the captivity of prison, he knew freedom. Paul's contentment comes from knowing Jesus' presence with him as well. He wrote this in the letter, and again, a most incredible thing to write. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul knows that as he served Jesus on earth, Jesus was with him. But he also knew that when he died, he would be with Jesus forever. Paul's learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation. He also knows God's power, which helps him in his contentment. He wrote this wonderful verse in this reading today. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. The strength for living for God comes through the Holy Spirit. The strength for living day-to-day life comes from God and his own Holy Spirit. Paul doesn't write, I can do everything because of who I am. Not at all. He writes the opposite. He says, I can do everything because of God and the strength I get from God. We too can do whatever needs doing when we know God's strength in us. All we need do is ask for it. The contentment is helped by the power of God in us. So before I close, I want to return to Samuel, who I'd like to say is still fast asleep. So, look at that. Well, who wouldn't be content if you get to sit in a chair in a panda outfit? I think, you know. But I asked Emma if she could send me contentment gurgles of Samuel. So we hope this is going to play. Gosh, I think we had that amplified, didn't we? So there we go, some amplified contentment gurgling from lovely Samuel. A picture of contentment from Samuel Smart. But we, the family and friends and church family and of Emma and Dave, Lucy and Samuel, know that life's not easy for them. And I've been given permission to share this today, that Dave's illness is a horrid, ongoing thing. We don't know why it's happening or why God hasn't healed him, and we do continue to pray. But I think you'll agree, I hope you'll agree with me, that Emma and Dave are amazing people. They're not only facing the ongoing problem of Dave's illness, but of course, specific things come up in life too. But they have Jesus with them. They know God empowering them and helping them. I see them as people that are in that process of learning to be content, but they know it's only possible because of Jesus in their lives. I had the privilege of baptizing Lucy 5 years ago. I'd just moved here, I got to know them. I have seen Emma and Dave grow in faith in Jesus over these years. And again, Emma gave me permission to share this, but a few weeks ago, Samuel had a nasty allergic reaction. I think it was a reaction to dairy. And what happened was his face swelled up. And so they needed to get Samuel to A&E, putting him in the car and driving there. When I spoke to Emma on the phone this week, Emma shared with me that both she and Dave were scared that little Samuel was going to die. But in a text message to me, the week this all happened, I looked back in my phone and I saw this. Emma texted to me, "It was really awful, but God was with me the whole time." This is the insight and picture of the journey towards contentment. Contentment is possible. Yes, it's a process, but it can only be found through trusting God and knowing Jesus with us. So, contentment's on offer. If you already know Jesus, then this is an invitation to the process of trusting him more with every and any circumstance, drawing on the power of the Holy Spirit. And if this God stuff and who Jesus is something you're yet to decide about, all I'd say is explore it. Find out a bit more. Make sure you've made your yes or your no to Jesus actively. Not just, I've never thought about it. Especially this Christmas, because it's a great time. And especially after the example of wonderful Samuel's baptism. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I have learnt the secret of being content in every and any situation. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." May we know that contentment and that strength through God too. Amen.